You are now listening to Spoilery Radio. Welcome to the spoilery sensation that's sweeping the nation.
This is Spoiler Wars.
Hey, howdy, what's up, nerds? Welcome to a brand new season of Spoiler Wars right here on Spoilery Radio. My name is Mason Fields, and I will be your spoiler master for tonight's recap of Marvel Studios' Moon Knight, Episode 1, The Goldfish Problem, now streaming on Disney+. I've got my merry Marvelites back in studio with me once again. Lollipod is back.
Hello, hello.
And so is Justin.
What up?
Hey, Ben, guys, been a little while for you, huh?
I know, it has.
It's been a minute or two.
Nice little respite, but, you know, you got to jump back in when it's MCU time.
Obby.
All right, so spoiler alert from here on out for Moon Knight and the entire MCU to date. But before we dive into this first episode, we got to do a little preseason temp check. So, Justin, I'm going to start with you. Tell me, were you looking forward to Moon Knight? How excited were you? Are we talking fully erect, semi-chub, or flaccid? Where are we with
this? I was sporting a semi.
Semi? Okay.
Yeah, there's a little wiggle to it.
Okay.
I didn't know much about Moon Knight.
Yeah, me
going
either.
Into this, but what I read about and what I was when I heard about Moon Knight was more or less Batman of the MCU.
That's
so I
at
thought
least
it was
kind of where the character started anyway. Mm-hmm. It was Marvel kind of being like, what if we had a Batman? But then all these kind of extra layers of multiple personalities and mysticism and stuff were kind of added on.
I didn't
on.
Understand that while we were watching it, you said the Batman thing, and I was like, how is this Batman?
Well, we're not into the movie yet. We're saying this is the preseason.
Yeah.
Well, pre-going into it.
I mean,
and this is
not,
that's what I had going. That's what I had going into
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, even
it was
then.
Like, all right. So I was sporting a semi. That's why.
Okay.
Because I like Batman. I mean, it's hard not to.
I got to say, you know, going back into the year, last time we talked about MCU, you know, No Way Home, I was really feeling like Moon Knight was maybe my kind of top show over the year just because it's something different, something new, something I have no familiarity with, all that. But I got to say, the lead up to it, nothing in the trailers really got me all that excited for it.
And there wasn't a big build up either by Marvel.
No. Don't feel like we got the real hype train for it. So some of that actually had me wondering, are they kind of burying this thing in March or something?
That is something they're gonna put it in there right before
Multiverse of Madness. Yeah. Lolly, what about you? How excited were you? Did you have a lady boner for this one?
Oh, that was gross. I mean, no, don't
boners
get me wrong.
Are gross?
No, I've said lady boner before, but it's weird having my brother ask me if I have a lady boner.
I'm right here. So it's probably yes.
Okay.
So were you looking forward to Moon Knight?
I didn't really know much about it when I saw the preview. The trailer, I was like, oh, this looks like it's going to be good. And plus, I love Oscar Isaac.
Yeah.
I think he's fantastic. He's a really good actor. And so I was excited to see him in this. I think that's the main reason why I was excited.
That's kind of the main thing I was looking forward to as well. I think there's a case to be made and an easy one to make that with Oscar Isaac and Ethan Hawke, this is kind of pound for pound the most like established actors
right.
with one of these MCU shows, at least. You know, everybody, all these other shows we've gotten are kind of people from the MCU who are on the rise, but they haven't had that career yet. Whereas both Oscar Isaac, Ethan Hawke, you know, Academy Award nominated, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Oscar Isaac first, I suppose. He's been working consistently since the mid-2000s, really broke out as a Ridley Scott guy in Body of Lies in 2008. I remember the first time I saw him was actually in Robin Hood. That's the Ridley Scott Robin Hood with Russell Crowe in 2010. Not the best Robin Hood movie, but he was just pitch perfect as Prince John, just this spoiled, bratty, royal prince. Real big performance in that one I really enjoyed. This is, of course, not the first Marvel character he has played. Justin, can you name the previous Marvel character he has played?
Oh.
Not in the MCU.
Yeah, it's not in the MCU.
I'll give you a hint. He was blue.
He was. Was he a Kree?
No, that's MCU. He was X-Men Apocalypse 2016. He was Apocalypse.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, very, very heavily under makeup and all that kind of stuff. Okay.
I didn't know he was Mr. Apocalypse himself.
Well, it's kind of interesting because so much of Moon Knight is about this kind of Egyptology side of this.
He didn't have to study for it.
And Apocalypse is the Egyptian god and is very, very kind of same thing with all that. So I think that's kind of interesting. I really enjoyed him as Duke Leto Atreides in Dune last year. He's just consistent. You know, of course, Poe Dameron in the Star Wars sequels. You know, I think he's just one of the best working actors out there.
He was in Body of Lies.
That was the Russell Crowe, Leonardo DiCaprio joint.
I liked that movie.
I haven't seen it in ages. I don't even really remember the part in it. I believe he shows up as an assassin in one of the first Bourne movies. You know, a lot of those kind of smaller roles really until kind of early 20-teens is when he really started breaking out. Of course, Inside Llewyn Davis is kind of his big dramatic performance there. Let's see. Ooh, man. And think about the beer burps with the.
Yep.
I don't drink them very often. Okay. All right. What about Ethan Hawke? Y'all are probably a little too young for his like 90s, you know, his Apex Mountain run there in the mid 90s. I was almost too young for it. You know, 89, Dead Poets Society. He's a child actor, essentially.
Yeah.
94.
My father, your father. What was it? You stand on the desk. My God.
I can't believe I'm fucking blanking on this.
Captain, my captain.
There we go. We got there.
My father, your father.
Mixing up Empire Strikes Back into that somehow.
Just a father, son, Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and then, you know, mid-90s, 94, Reality Bites, 95, Before Sunrise. You know, he was like the epitome of the Gen Xer in movies. You know, the kind of disenchanted, not really sure where my life's going kind of guy. You know, epitome of the Generation X, you know, cigarette smoking, coffee drinking,
right.
Kind of New Yorker in a lot of those parts. And then, of course, 2001, Training Day, I think is kind of the towards the end of his peak. Now, he's still done some great work in the last few years. What is it? First Reformed, a very creepy religious thriller. I did not particularly enjoy the Magnificent Seven from a few years ago with Denzel Washington, but he, Ethan Hawke, has a really funny Midnight Robichaud. His character he plays in that. It's really good. So what is y'all's relationship to Ethan Hawke? Do you have one?
He was married to Uma Thurman.
Okay. But not so much from the movies?
Yeah, not really. I mean, there's nothing that super sticks out to me. I mean, I've seen stuff that he's been in, but it wasn't like, I wasn't at the time where it would have been like, Ethan Hawke is the big celebrity at that time.
I mean,
time.
I was, you know, just barely a teenager when he was kind of hitting that peak of Gen Xer stuff.
But so. I still knew him well enough to where when he came up on the screen in this episode, I was like, oh, shoot, it's Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, yeah. One of the bigger kind of casting for the MCU here lately in terms of, you know, kind of, I don't know if he'd follow. I guess he's approaching kind of legendary status, Ethan Hawke is.
I think it's like his personal life mixed with his career.
Right, right. Well, of course, he is the father of Maya Hawke, who's kind of had a breakout in Stranger Things. And it's kind of frightening how, you know, it's like the Zoe Kravitz phenomenon. Just these two unrealistically beautiful people having the most beautiful child that's ever been.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about the first episode of Moon Knight. Let's start with Lolly. What was your first take?
You know, I don't like to start.
That's why I started with you.
Okay.
But
so
she does like to finish.
Oh, gross. You just made Mason choke.
Choke on my beer there.
I enjoyed it. Throughout the first episode, I was really intrigued. I like that they made him, you know, this, they made things very mysterious and you couldn't really quite figure out what was going on. I did kind of reach that point where I was like, ugh, this whole questioning what's happening thing is going on too long.
Yeah, that's my biggest problem with the episode.
I like how they brought history into it. And the whole sleeping thing So I'm a really bad insomniac. Yeah. I also sleepwalk. Like, I've had issues in the past where sleepwalking has led me outside. Yeah, I've gone outside of my house.
Justin's going to have to start chaining up your leg.
Yeah, I know. Right. I woke up on a balcony one time. Like, it's not, sometimes it can not be safe, but his tactics in seeing if he sleepwalked the night before, the tape on the door, he put sand around his bed.
It took me a minute to understand what the sand was for. Yeah. I was like, is this some kind of really, oh, it's for the footprints. So he can see if he,
I thought that was really smart.
But
so
I mean, it should have been throughout the entire house, not just right around his bed, because he could have slept jump and missed the entire thing.
You could definitely easily jump over that little sand pile. Yeah.
If you're going to, if you're going to sleep and do all of that, you're definitely going to sleep jump over that little, you know, 1 foot wide thing of sand.
Especially if your, you know, alternate personality is a fucking mercenary who can backflip off of that, which we haven't really met yet other than the Mark Spector we saw in the mirror at the very end of the episode.
But so I went into this like pretty much completely blind. Other than watching the trailer, I didn't look into any backstory of Moon Knight. I kind of wanted to see how they dealt with introducing it to someone who doesn't know it.
Yeah, I was very, you know, a lot of these stuff we've covered, I'm like, all right, I got to kind of read some comics and prep and kind of get. And this one, I was like, no, I want to go in cold.
Yeah.
I want to experience it from that perspective. So I have no.
Because then you can judge how well they introduced it.
Exactly. I have no strings attached in terms of, oh, they didn't do the character justice. It's just purely evaluating it based on TV. I'll sort of spread out my criticisms of it because I'm definitely more down on the episode than y'all. But the point you made there, Lolly, with the. I felt like after about 15 minutes of the episode, I got it, you know, in terms of the like. The multiple personality of it all and the weirdness and the just the, I don't know, Justin, you mentioned it in our off mic conversation. You got Venom vibes with the kind of voice in his head stuff. Of course, Venom is not my favorite of the comic book movies we've seen lately. And I mean, the Venom movie we watched was what, 4 months ago or something. So it felt a little bit derivative, you know, that was
the voice was really similar.
Yeah. The voice was really similar. They did.
We had to actually look.
Oh, the idiot's back.
Yeah.
They did. And it wasn't just the intonation of it. It was like he was saying Venom stuff, you know, like, oh, this fucking moron, you know, that kind of thing. But shouts to F. Murray Abraham, legendary actor who was doing the voice of Khonshu that you hear in his head.
Okay.
Legendary actor, just weird to take that legendary voice and just make it sound like the Venom voice, you know?
It did.
I think I always go back to him in Scarface as one of the guys that gets chainsawed, and he's just, he's laying the Spanish on, just super thick. I love it. Justin, tell me how you felt about the episode overall.
One thing I really liked about it was the tone of the episode. Why? Because it was very different than any of the MCU tones of all the series. I thought it was very, it was a lot darker.
Yeah.
It's a lot more serious.
For sure.
They're not pushing, they kind of did a little bit with the voice, but not really pushing comedy through
it
everyone.
It was serious
forced
with
comedy.
Little tidbits of jokes.
And the reason why I like it like that, I enjoy it is because I'm looking ahead. I'm thinking Ms. Marvel is going to be more of a kid's TV series.
Yeah.
We don't know what the heck's going to happen with She-Hulk.
No idea.
And so I just thought, this is more of an adult series.
And that's how Kevin Feige has been selling it lately. He's been selling it as the most violent, brutal of any Marvel project so far. Now, we didn't really get that in the first episode. We got kind of the darker tone of it, but we didn't really see a whole lot of like violence in this.
And I can see how you can think about the that it was kind of drug on a little bit with him trying to figure out what the heck's going on while he's sleeping.
There was too many wake ups, go back to sleeps, wake up, go back to
sleep. But there really wasn't, because there's that initial one and then there's the long one.
Yeah.
So there really was only two, right? And then you're in the third one, he's figuring out, oh shoot, there's somebody there.
Yeah.
Right?
In the bathroom. I get the dissociative identity disorder.
So you didn't read the episode description that
I didn't. I didn't.
Stephen
read any
Grant
of it.
With dissociative.
Yeah, I wanted to go in cold. Yeah. So like that's not what I. Yeah,
I guess if you think about,
I thought it was just mystical.
I guess if you think about it, was I guess a little much when he kept they kept you know rolling his eyes in the back of his head and then him coming awake. I guess I didn't really think about it. I was thinking about actually going to bed, but
the coming back between the personalities.
But that actually they needed that because that helped connect the dots, right? Of oh yeah, this guy's got multiple personalities.
And but that's kind of why I didn't think it was that, because with a lot of dissociative. With a lot of DID, it's not as obvious when they're switching in between.
Right.
I think, oh my gosh.
Amy Schumer?
No, oh my gosh. It's one of my favorite movies and I can't think of the name right now. It's DID and he has like 27 personalities and kidnaps those two girls.
No idea.
Split.
That's oh, the James McAvoy?
Yeah, he did an incredible job of the transition between identities.
I think part of what I'm feeling about it is this, first of all, everything we saw from the trailers, or I should say like 98% of the trailers were this episode.
Yeah.
And that's just one of those like, all right, well then do the double episode release. And I think we've talked about this pretty much every Marvel show. I just want them to eventize that, mm-hmm. that first premiere, like they did with Hawkeye in the two episodes. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this episode kind of just gave me the setup I was expecting, but didn't really give me mm-hmm. anything.
Yeah, I knew going into it, we're not going to get a big actual Moon Knight in his costume. I didn't even think we were going to get it, but at the very end, you got it.
You got it, mm-hmm. yeah. And I think that it tonally, as you were talking about the tone, Justin, for me, it really reminded me, and I can't decide if this is in a good or a bad way, of the Marvel Netflix shows.
Yes.
Little darker tone. Mm-hmm. But I would also say my problem with a lot of the Marvel Netflix series was you always felt like the season started, the first episode, second episode, like it'd take you four or five episodes for the ball to get rolling. And I think it was just my like, don't be that, you know, let's get this ball rolling.
And I think with a 6-episode series, you just can't, it shouldn't take that long.
I not to be too concerned, Trolley, but I do think Marvel's still kind of figuring out, you know, it seems like a couple of the shows could have used an extra 2 episodes. A couple of them could have been movies, basically.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that was the feeling I was getting from this was like, I could actually see this one as a really tight origin story movie and not kind of having to drag out some of the like what's going on here stuff as much. Mm-hmm. But that was just my take. What did y'all think about the music in particular? We got a lot of needle drops in this episode and it was actually kind of jarring for me because like in the first 5 minutes you go from a Bob Dylan song to the Every Day I Wake Up to this weird remix of Big Pimpin' into the Wham song, you know, Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. What'd y'all think about the needle drops in this? Do you think they were used effectively or was a little...
I think it's fun.
A little too much? Okay.
I don't think they were that good. Why? Because I don't remember
them. You don't remember it.
100%. Yeah. I couldn't tell you that, like the music. Yeah, I couldn't even tell you a song that was on there.
I thought the
so and there therefore I think
I
it
think
is terrible.
Most of my brain was being used to figure out what the fuck was going on, so I didn't really.
Yeah,
the other stuff didn't stick.
I think it was weird for me the way the episode started with the Bob Nill and needle drop with Ethan Hawke doing the break in the glass and putting it in his shoes. But then we just fade into an Oscar Isaac scene with a different song. And then, you know, it was just like too much dissonance.
I will say this had, in other Marvel shows and movies, I haven't had the cringe, like, ouch, oh God. And I had that twice in this episode with the glass, him putting his shoes on. Mm-hmm. And then when he wakes up in the field and his jaw is just like, and then you can hear him popping it back.
Oh, man.
Like, that's something that's very different.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, goes with the tone.
I think it does, yeah. I mean, definitely darker. A lot of conversation leading into the premiere, of course, from the trailers was about the accent. Mm-hmm. And the, you know, the real Oliver Twist kind of accent that he's doing there. Did that bother y'all at all?
I thought it was a good accent.
I thought it was a good accent. It was good accent work from Oscar Isaac, but he was also doing the least sexy British accent out there, that kind of South London, like a Gators kind of accent, you know, that just always chafes at me a little bit. It's like, you know, Cornwall or Yorkshire.
You want it to be more posh.
Or posh, yeah. Or even just the Yorkshire in the north, you know, but... But no, he's going, oh, it's South London. Oh, yeah. It's like, it's a little too thick.
Well, they exist and they need to be represented.
I suppose. Mm-hmm. I suppose. So that didn't bother y'all at all?
No.
No.
How about Stephen Grant, the character so far? Are you like, are you feeling for him? Are you bought in with him? Or I got to say, I felt him kind of annoying by the end of the episode. I was like, give me Moon Knight or Mark Spector, but this kind of weird doofus is getting on my nerves.
I like him. I found him likable. But I just, if I had this shit going on, I would be trying to figure it out more, you know? I would have gone
He's trapping himself.
I would have gone to a doctor. If I was waking up, I wouldn't, like, in crazy places, if I was...
If you woke up on a different fucking continent or in a different country...
Right, I wouldn't go back and talk to my fish and eat cereal.
No.
Like, that's what's crazy to me. If you woke up and saw all of that, he saw someone suck the life out of a woman.
Yeah.
Like, I would be going to a doctor and saying, okay, I've lost it.
Even later in the episode, you know, Ethan Hawke and crew actually come to the museum, do the whole test him kind of thing with the thing. Oh, you got chaos in you. And then some kids come in. And so he runs away and just goes back to the gift shop, doing inventory. Like, just for, yeah. I got to finish my shift, you know? Yeah.
It's dedication.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
So I think there's more going on here than just the DID of it all.
I don't think his mom is alive.
I don't think she is either. It kind of sounds like he's having a conversation, but then it usually wraps up like it's a voicemail. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The first one, they made it kind of obvious. Like he said, I'm sorry I missed you or whatever.
Yeah.
And then so then the second time he called her, I was like, that's a voicemail too. I don't think she's alive.
No, I don't know who he's
calling. I would be shocked.
But then there was also that moment of, I didn't look close. Oh, this is when I need to go back and investigate more into what's in the on the screen. He said, Gus got your postcard and put it on the fish tank.
Oh, I didn't even remember that.
In the voicemail, he said, got your postcard. So I need to take a little closer look at that postcard.
Well, so I think what they're trying to get us to think at this point is that it's all just about dissociative identity disorder.
Yeah.
Of course, in the comics, Mark Spector, the mercenary, gets kind of, finds an Egyptian relic kind of thing, and the god Khonshu can take him over. And in the comics, Mark Spector is a Bruce Wayne, Tony Stark, billionaire, Spector Corp, all that. But a couple of possibilities here I just want you to think about as we go forward through the season. We've been getting a lot of multiverse stuff, of course, No Way Home and Loki and all that. The talk I've been hearing is that it's not actually a dissociative identity disorder. It's variants of this person, like
connecting,
like jumping in and out of his body kind of thing. So there may be a multiversal element to some of this. It could just be kind of the mystical element stuff. But in the comics also, the Mark Spector personality, the billionaire, sort of sets up, I don't want to call them traps, but like the theory is the whole museum is not like a national museum. It's a Spector Corp sort of front to keep the alternate personality occupied. And I think there's actually credence to that because the way he interacts with everybody at that museum is a little off. They all seem to get that he's a little weird, but then like the girl he's made a date with, but he doesn't remember making the date. And she doesn't seem all that weirded out about by it at first. The
security guard's weird to me.
The security guard was weird. The boss, Donna, was a little weird too.
Yeah.
Nobody's really like connecting the dot or saying anything when he's disappeared for 2 days and missed a shift.
Yeah, that's the main thing, is the fact that he was gone for a while and comes back and everything's fine.
Yeah. So I think there's something more Marvel-y behind all this than just the DID.
She got on him for being late, and he's continuously late. But the fact that he just was gone, unless maybe coincidentally he had those days off.
Maybe. I will say the dinner scene where he goes to the restaurant and finds out he's missed a day is one of those conflicting things for me, because I'm like, you have an iPhone, and when you open the iPhone, it shows you what day it is.
Said the exact same thing as I was watching it. It's like, why'd you ask? Isn't it on your phone?
But even if you don't get that, that you had a little bit of bones
yeah.
in that
form.
it just took me back to our Men in Black episode.
Edgar, you're just going to hang off your bones.
I fucking lost the point I was making on that. I don't even know where I was going with that. What was I talking about?
You were talking about how he can just look at his phone even and see the date.
Oh, yeah. But the moment that it all crashes down on him, like the fucking sadness that Oscar Isaac portrays in that, and the kind of awkwardness with the waiter. And he's like, I guess I'll have a steak. And I mean, what he's established as a vegan and doesn't know how to order a steak. And you're just like, it's like cringy, embarrassed, but sad for him.
I wonder if he liked the steak.
I wonder if he actually ate the steak. Yeah,
I hope he did.
I wanted to cry.
I just hope he liked the steak and welcome to a new life.
It kind of also reminds you of those moments of like, I don't know, when someone's realizing that something is wrong with them and that it's not going to change. Like when someone is realizing that they have issues with dementia, it was kind of reminiscent of my grandmother. And
there's an embarrassment factor in them and they're trying to kind of cover it. And it's heartbreaking. But it's that kind of stuff that
sorry, I took it there.
Really looking forward to.
What's
with the
tone
show.
Of the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about our little Alps sequence there?
Oh, so that was weird.
That was the point of the episode where I was like, okay, we're getting going with something here.
I still didn't understand the glass and the shoe thing. And he's walking down.
That's what I said. It's kind of like, what do they call it? When priests and stuff...
Oh, like self-flagellation stuff. Yeah.
It's kind of a religious and spiritual thing.
Yeah. And it's a little bit of a play on the comics character, Arthur Harrow, who's not a big comics character. He's like a scientist in the comics, but his whole thing is like experimenting with pain, and you know, pain manipulation and stuff like that. And I would say walking around with fucking glass in your sandals is pretty fucking painful.
I'm going to try it.
No, you're not.
Let me know how that works out. Let me know how that works out. I was surprised there wasn't little fucking blood spots, you know, all over the place. I was a little disoriented at first because at first I was just like, oh, he's outside of London, you know? Mm-hmm. And then they kind of show the mountains. And I was like, that's not fucking England. I think we're supposed to be in the Alps. One little Easter egg I want to mention here. So Dr. Doom, Latveria is an Alpine country. And the cupcake van was like Vaughn something or other.
Yeah.
So people think maybe we're getting a little bit of Latveria, Dr. Doom kind of tease with some of this
stuff.
Or
maybe it's a boner joke.
Could be. I just rewatched WandaVision. I'm pissed about that all over again.
fucking Ralph Boner.
Fucking Ralph Boner. Jesus Christ. And knowing that, a little off track, but knowing that, the moment he shows up, it's just, fuck you. Get out of here. I like the Alpine sequence. I felt like we're actually getting somewhere. I like the you know, they're having this little religious ceremony and Ethan Hawke kind of tricks them by like telling all his followers to kneel. And it's like, oh shit.
He just looks around. Oh shit.
And I do like the, you know, it's just all of a sudden a little flash. And then Mark's like, okay, there are dead bodies around me and I'm covered in, Steven is like, I don't know what I just did. And they're like, oh, the mercenary. Of course, we know he's talking about Mark Spector, that version of himself now. But I thought what they were doing with all that was fun. And like every time his life was actually threatened, he'd black out and then wake up and there was a dead guy in the back of the truck.
Yeah.
Or wake up and he's going backwards.
And he looks at his hand. Fuck?
A lot of that was really fun and actually kind of reminded me a little bit of Memento, the way they played with like he all of a sudden he's in a situation and doesn't know how he got there and has to kind of piece it back together.
Or when he's trying to hand the thing over and he's like pries his fingers open because he can't get it.
That moment bugged me because it's both Venom and Spider-Man No Way Home in the same scene. Like we just saw that, you know, in two movies. But and then when the Wham song kicked in, that's when it kind of put me off the sequence a little bit. It kind of worked for a second, but then after about the third or fourth flash, I was like, okay, I want to see what's going on between these flashes. Yeah. Like that's when the cool shit's happening, you know?
I feel like, but I do feel like that'll set up for hopefully set up good episodes coming in there. Because you're just like, okay, when we finally get to see this shit, that's kind of badass.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how they're going to play this out. How long we're with Steven, how much of Mark Spector we're going to get, how much of actual Moon Knight we're going to get. I mean, we see him at the very end of this episode. And I guess this is as good a time as any to talk about kind of my major nitpick of the episode. This was the worst, start to finish, the worst CGI maybe I've ever seen in a Marvel project. The shot of Moon Knight at the end of that episode, the fucking cape looks like it's made out of, like, it looks like a mid-aughts PlayStation game. It was so bad. I was like, I was just like horrified. Like, did they not put the money into this?
Budgets.
And it really jumped out to me in the cupcake van chase sequence where it's like, the fucking cars just look so cartoony. I mean, I was really like kind of, for the first time in a while, made me actively nervous about like, man, is this what these shows are going to be? Like, I mean, I've seen better animation in the CW fucking comic book shows than this.
Damn.
So. But I guess it didn't bother y'all. It's not the kind of thing that chafes on you.
Well, now I'm looking at, I'm pulling up that last sequence right now where you see the cape. You're not wrong.
It's just the motion and the textures on it. It just doesn't look right. And
it doesn't look real.
No, it doesn't look real at all. And so that's, you know.
Yeah, but I thought that was kind of, honestly, I think I went into this not knowing, like, there's so much that just flew over my head because I had no familiarity with this at all. So maybe that'll tell you how well they did with their first episode of dealing with.
I was just surprised mainly with like, if that's your first reveal of your kind of lead.
I thought Moon Knight was supposed to be kind of like magical, fake-ish.
Yeah. And I don't mind that. It's like, you know, some of that you expect. I mean, supernatural being, glowing eyes, all that kind of stuff. But like, you got to get the textures right. And I mean, you know, some of that stuff. And just, again, just the chase sequence. I'm just like, I mean, they did such a good job in Hawkeye and all of that. This one really just jumped out to me as like, man, what were y'all doing? Y'all had more time to do this show than any of these other Marvel shows we've seen. And like, again, rewatching the fucking opening sequence in Falcon Winter Soldier with the helicopters fucking looks great. But so a little bit nervous about that. Anything else? What do you want to hit on here? We're at about 35 minutes.
Didn't
I mention?
I'm curious to see. So at the end scene at the museum where that thing is that chasing after him thing. And all these things, like he's throwing things aside and tearing up this museum.
Yeah.
I was like, I wonder what the security footage looks like. Does it look, is it just him going crazy? Yeah. Or can you actually see that something's chasing him? And so that kind of made me think, is someone going to try to have him committed after this? And they just walk in and he's destroyed an entire museum and it looks like he's just kind of reacting.
Might be, yeah. I could see that. I think it would be appropriate to deal with some of that if, you know, DID is going to be a big theme of the show, then sort of deal with some of the clinical aspects of that. Yeah, we never got a clear look at the weird dog thing that's chasing him. But again, I'm like, okay, you've already had a group of people come in and like threaten you. But you go back and finish your shift, and then you're leaving and hear some fucking beast squealing, and you're just going to, oh, excuse me, doggy, are you in here, puppy? You know?
That was weird.
Yeah, it's like,
he starts whistling for it.
Yeah, just, what do you fucking think? And then Ethan Hawke's voice comes over like the PA or something. Yeah.
What the hell?
Very weird. I do like that, like, when they're in the Alps, he's like, oh, no, I just work at a gift shop. And then Ethan Hawke shows up and is like, I thought you were bullshitting, but like, no, you actually told me who you are, you dumbass.
Yeah.
You
know?
What about the goldfish? What's up with the goldfish?
You got to have a weird friend.
But the fin, he just grows his fin back? I mean, is this going to be a...
Yeah, there's got to be something behind that. And I guess he needs someone...
He needs a Nemo.
To talk
yeah,
to.
Yeah, definitely a few Finding Nemo references in that.
But you just see it, like you're introduced to this guy and you realize he's close with his mom, but is his mom dead or alive? He's just leaving voicemails.
Well, I think she's a complete figment of his imagination because this guy, Steven, is not real. You know what I mean?
See, I didn't... like, I didn't get that. I thought the other guy was fake.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Spectrum.
Mark Spector.
Unless you read the description or you know what you're getting yourself into. Like from my viewpoint, this guy is the real guy. That's the way that they filmed it and made it look.
See, and I think that's what they, in a weird way, because this is an origin story, I think they are kind of gearing it more towards the like non-
And have a reveal.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because the only time you see quote unquote Mark Spector is that scene in the mirror in the bathroom where he's, Oscar Isaac's talking to himself,
right,
talking to the American accented version of himself. It's just like, I can do this. Let me take over.
So I guess that could be part of the reveal is like when they show that he's not an actual real guy, it's like, well, look at his life. He has no real connection to the world.
Yeah,
he has no friends. He sits next to the
mime and the gold paint. Yeah. Which actually, I just heard this on another podcast today. Shout out to X-Ray Vision, Jason Concepcion. That character as named in the credits is like a friend of Mark Spector's in the comics. So is he going to actually be a character? Is he just going to be a mime? I don't know.
Right.
And then of course you get the cell phone bit where he finds the old flip phone and it's got all these calls from Layla. And then she calls and she's like, Mark, where the fuck are you? So all that was the signals to me of like, what we're getting now is some fucked up situation where, you know, he lost his shit. He's been in this Steven identity for a while now. Possibly set off by when he found the Khonshu robes or something.
But if that person, if he's been missing, like if Mark has been missing for months, and that person has been calling like every day and he finally answers, why would they get irritated with his answers and hang up on him?
The hanging up on him was weird. But yeah, and the accent stuff and, you know,
why didn't they trace the call?
That too. You know, I mean,
it was a razor, but still.
But yeah, it looked like she'd called hundreds of times and she says, you've been gone for months. You think if you were actually that worried about him, you'd, you know, send somebody looking. But then, of course, you know, with the Mark Spector mercenary side of it all, maybe it's like, well, you're a shady guy. So if I say I'm looking for you, it's going to get you in trouble.
Are you really blowing me off because you're doing a fake accent and acting like you don't know who I am? This is how you want to like end things. All right, fuck you.
Yeah.
Okay. I could see that too.
I think that character is going to pop up here pretty soon and be a pretty critical part of the show. What else?
The mirror scene.
Yeah.
Just made me think of Spider-Man and Norman Osborn. When he was just walking through the bathroom and they look at each other in the mirror. It kind of reminded me of Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you were talking about No Way Home specifically.
No. Tobey Maguire.
Yeah. I think that's a fair callback. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit of what was going on with Norman too.
Yeah.
The goblin's an identity in there. Yeah, I think there's definitely a comparison to be made.
Because that's also, because when he switched over to Green Goblin in Spider-Man No Way Home, that was a cool switch.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it. That's how
the Spidey sense effect.
And going through all of that and Tom recognizing it.
Yeah. I just watched it. He's like, that Spidey sense of yours is sure a neat trick kind of thing. My other, I guess it ties back into my complaints about the CGI, but the couple of times we actually see Khonshu, the weird fucking skeleton headed beak thing, again, just very cartoony to me, but I did like he's terrified of it, and then it's the old lady that comes into the elevator, and they're both scared of each other, but pretending not to be.
I don't blame her. I would not have gotten on that elevator.
Not even a little bit.
So my friend knows I'm coming.
If an elevator door opens and a guy is crouched in the corner of it, I am not getting on.
No.
Just not getting on.
Just wait until the next
one.
But
I do like how he's like, oh, just lost a contact lens.
And she's like, I'm going to see my friend. No, really, I'm going to see my friend. Let me in. Yeah, interesting. He starts finding the kind of signs and the scrapes on the floor, moves the table, climbs up, finds the phone and stuff. And that's the first, like, it seems like the first time that this guy, Steven, is starting to realize. I mean, obviously he knows he sleepwalks or something. But does he know until then that he's got, like, does he know he has DID?
I don't think he does. I think this is him trying, this is him figuring it out.
Yeah, I think this, well, this is Steven figuring
it
out.
Yeah, Steven.
Right.
I think Mark may know, but remains to be seen going forward. What is going on with this Ethan Hawke villain, this weird cult, and the weighing of the scales?
That was so weird, and then all of a sudden sucked the light. Oh, you're going to be a bad person.
Yeah, just
so you're going to die now.
The fact that maybe it's something you haven't done yet.
Yeah.
So you should be punished for what you haven't done.
And just literally suck the life out of you instantly. Actually, the visual effect reminded me a lot of WandaVision.
Yeah, when they suck in the
powers. They go gray, you know. But I thought the tattoo thing was just cheesy. It just looked kind of silly in the way
it's just like, I was
swing this thing. I mean, it was kind of cool when he did it to Steven, and it's, you know, you kind of see multiple scales. And, I do think the line, "You have chaos in you," is loaded because of WandaVision and chaos magic and all of that. But, I don't know. I just feel like this was a premiere episode that was, we're trying to lure you in with mysteries rather than plot or action or anything.
Yeah, for sure. I have a question for both of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think we're going to get an MCU appearance by anybody?
I don't know. It just doesn't feel like that kind of show right now.
Yeah.
If it comes, I would think it would come late, almost even like a finale post credits sets it up. In the comics, Moon Knight has a lot of connections to Blade. Of course, Blade sort of entered the MCU in the Eternals post credit, so I could see something, you know, maybe with Blade, Mahershala Ali popping up. Also, this Halloween, we're getting a Werewolf by Night story. Moon Knight was introduced in the Werewolf by Night comics, so he's more connected to this kind of dark, gothic, magic-y kind of side of things. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I could see some of those, but, like, you know, none of our kind of mainstays, you know what I mean? Like, I guess maybe some of the magical side of the universe could come in, but, like, it's not
there's no way you're getting Doctor Strange or Wanda in there.
I wouldn't think so at this point. I mean,
yeah, I don't think so.
And, you know,
they're too big of a, they would take the show.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they're too big of a, like, I'm trying to think of Agatha's. I don't think Agatha's would be.
And it doesn't seem like the kind of thing, I guess maybe mercenary stuff, but I can't picture a Bucky or a Rhodey or anybody like that. So, and I kind of hope it does. I will say I found it refreshing that there was no mention of the blip in this episode, that it was very standalone. Yeah. There was no conversation about what Captain America's doing or anything else. But I do think at some point they're going to have to sprinkle a little bit of that MCU connective tissue in there to really make it feel.
Yeah. Cause
MCU.
I'm trying to figure out by one episode, you don't know which realm you're in within the MCU. Like, all right, what characters is this guy gonna play with?
Well, and that's the conversation I've heard connected to the multiverse stuff is currently what we're seeing right now actually in the 616 universe, or are we somewhere else and Mark Spector is actually in the 616 universe, or the you know, something like that. I don't know. I don't want to get too far ahead of the multiversal stuff. That shit's hard to predict, but yeah,
honestly, it's kind of nice to have a break from it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, after just watching Spider-Man No Way Home and, you know, on our way to Multiverse of Madness, I do think there's something refreshing about just a self-contained Marvel story and the first origin story we've had in a while. So I think that's what I'm chafing against a little bit with this first episode, as I've talked about, is I'm kind of origin storied out. And so it's hard for them to do really anything with an origin story that's going to impress me with just the first portion of it like this.
Right, right.
This is definitely going to be it. I don't know. I got to see it in totality.
I love a good origin story. Y'all are always like, well, I've had enough of origin stories. Justin says it all the time.
I don't mind origin stories in general. I just think Marvel has gotten so formulaic with their origin stories, and this is an opportunity for them to do something different. I just don't know if I'm going to like what they do different yet. So, you know, we'll see. How excited are you for next week?
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm just curious to see how much Moon Knight we're going to get. Do we see Mark? Do we see,
I think we've got to see a little legitimate Moon Knight action in episode two. You know, not just like this kind of always punching a CGI dog from the other side of the room, but like, you know, the full scope of his powers or weapons or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I hope this isn't true. You know, in the trailers, you see him turn into Moon Knight. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I will be pissed if that's the last episode.
I can't imagine it would be. I think that would really be, if this is a 6-episode buildup, like not just like a superhero origin story, but like it's almost like the first act of a superhero origin story movie.
Is 6 mm-hmm. episodes?
That's milking it out way too long, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to do that. I think it'll pick up quick.
I'll be pissed.
I'm interested to see more from Ethan Hawke. I want to know kind of what's going on with the bad guys with this, because so far it's not really hitting for me
right.
It's
very Flag Smasher-ish.
Yeah, could be. Could be.
Who is the bad guy?
I mean, you know, Ethan Hawke versus Aaron Kellyman, a little bit difference in experience and ability there, I think. No shots at Aaron Kellyman, but I think she was a little bit out of her league with that one. But yeah, and more of Oscar Isaac. I really hope we get more Mark Spector or other personalities. I don't know if I can spend 6 episodes with Steven. He's just a little too weird, eccentric to me or something. I don't know. Maybe it is just a South London accent. I don't know if I can handle 6 episodes of Later Gators. I don't know if I can.
Oh, I was just reading something and they said that the there's a lot of like crocodile alligator kind of references.
It's all over the staff that Ethan Hawke is mm-hmm. using. Of course, that was a big, you know, Egyptian gods and stuff. I'm not as well versed in that history as some of my other eras, but I hope we get either in the next couple episodes some kind of step back to Mark Spector in Egypt in a tomb, you know, finding robes or whatever it is that does it. I don't know if it's the scarab thing that gave him the powers or what. But a little back history on that side. I want more backstory. I mean, this was very, you know,
in the moment, in
the middle of things when mm-hmm. we jumped in media res. But I want to see a little bit more of like where that came from. Why are you giving me that look?
You're very aggressively clicking over there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not even fucking doing anything over here. All right, guys. Any other thoughts on Moon Knight episode 1?
I got none.
Got none. We hit it.
I'm excited to get questions answered.
Are you excited enough to wake up and watch it at 6 a.m.?
Yeah, if I set my alarm and remember.
Yeah.
I don't think this is going to be a 6 a.m.er for me. I think this is going to be a Wednesday night routine for me. It's just, I don't, at least so far, it doesn't have that like.
I think it's because you have
awake.
No previous connection to it.
Yeah. Hopefully by episode 5 or 6, I'm into it enough that I'm like, oh shit, the episode's out. I got to watch it.
Well, by 5 or 6, it'll be done.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I hope I'm waking up for the finale. Like, oh my God, it's out. I got to see it.
It's the finale. I got to see it. Later, Gators.
Why do you make that face when you do it?
We should just
this is my face.
We should just all talk in bad South London accents the whole time, you know?
Cheerio.
Fucking Thatcher. Fucking Thatcher, man.
That'd be like if we listened to a podcast where everyone put on fake Southern accents for...
That would be annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll not do that.
I don't have a Southern accent.
Oh, God.
That's our show. Thanks for joining us for this premiere edition of Spoiler Wars for Marvel Studios Moon Knight. Give us a rating and review on your podcast platform of choice. And find us on Twitter and Instagram at Spoiler Wars Pod. Lolly Pod, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Neat Lolly. NEATLOLLY.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Justin, what about you?
You can also find me on Twitter at @Ja_Machado49. That is JU_MACHADO49, as in go 49ers.
Thank you, guys, and thank you all for listening. My name is Mason Fields. Until next time, stay spoilery, everybody.
Peace.
See ya.